The Americas.
Canada's defence spending. Falling short. Canada has been shamed into a defence spending promise it seems unlikely to keep.
Public shame or ridicule can often persuade people to do things they don't want to. That was the plight of Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau at the NATO summit in Washington in July. For over a decade, Canada has been under mounting pressure from its NATO allies, particularly the United States, to increase its defence expenditure so as to hit the alliance's target of at least 2% of GDP. In 2019, Donald Trump described Canada as slightly delinquent. Biden administration officials tut-tut about Canadian spending in private and label Canada a bad child. In his second term, Mr. Trump is likely to use stronger language and find new ways to put pressure on Canada. Out of 32 NATO members at the summit, Canada was one of eight not hitting the 2% target. The current defence budget of $34 billion Canadian dollars, that's $24 billion US dollars, is worth about 1.34% of GDP. Canada thus joins Italy, Spain, Slovenia, Belgium and Luxembourg in spending less than 1.5% of GDP on defence. Mr. Trudeau felt the pressure, with the summit soon to close and having earlier said that his government would hit 1.76% of GDP by 2030, he suddenly announced that he expected to reach 2% by 2032. NATO peer pressure, once consensus has been reached, is very powerful, says Carl Dewey of the International Institute for Strategic Studies, a think tank based in London. Yet it is reasonable to doubt the strength of Mr. Trudeau's commitment. Having previously said that Canada would never reach the 2% target, he offered no clues as to how that would now happen, and labelled it a crass mathematical calculation. With elections due in October 2025, and Mr. Trudeau increasingly unpopular, even within his own Liberal Party, the chances that he will be around to fulfil his pledge are slim. The clearest articulation of Canada's plans came in April, when the Trudeau government published a long-awaited 46-page renewed vision for Canada's defence. The document makes an eloquent case for the country's special mission to bolster both North American and NATO security in the Arctic region. Climate change is opening sea lanes there, while both Russia and China are sniffing around for economic and military opportunities. Canada's aspiration to manage the region with other Arctic powers is out of date, the defence plan suggests. Russia and China are working collaboratively to expand their presence. Russia is building a fleet of combat icebreakers. The Canadian document notes that by 2050, the Arctic Ocean could become the most efficient shipping route between Europe and East Asia. At the NATO summit, Canada, the United States and Finland inked an agreement dubbed the Ice Pact to work together to build and operate a new fleet of up to 90 icebreakers. The document is high in values and high in ambition, but it falls short in transparency as far as how we actually do the things it talks about, says Yori Cormier of the CDA Institute, an Ottawa-based defence think tank. Much of the spending is deferred. Of the $73 billion Canadian dollars the plan proposes over the next 20 years, just $8 billion Canadian dollars will come between now and 2029. Most of the big ticket purchases had already been announced. They include 88 F-35 fighter jets that will cost $74 billion Canadian dollars, $40 billion Canadian dollars for the modernisation of NORAD, the air defence system that Canada operates with the United States, and the building of 15 warships at a cost of $85 billion Canadian dollars, the largest shipbuilding project in Canada since the Second World War. The idea is that if these programmes proceed in a timely fashion over the next few years, Canada will reach its goal of spending 1.76% of GDP by 2030. But that is a rather large if. Mr. Cormier warns that although programme spending has been planned, funding is not yet in place to deliver it. Moreover, Canada's non-partisan parliamentary budget officer, or PBO, has declared that the 1.76% goal is based on erroneous economic projections and that 1.58% of GDP by 2030 is a more likely outcome. To reach 2% of GDP, the PBO says annual defence spending would have to double to nearly $82 billion Canadian dollars by 2032-33. Funding for what should be Canada's biggest and most urgent programme, the acquisition of 12 new conventionally powered submarines to replace four elderly Victoria-class boats due to be taken out of service in the mid-2030s, is even more doubtful. Despite the fact that the Defence Minister, Bill Blair, confirmed the project at the NATO summit in Washington, the government is still only exploring options. It has very conservatively estimated a price tag of $60 billion Canadian dollars. No money is provided for it in the Defence Department's existing capital budget. Unless decisions are taken quickly, including to buy a good enough off-the-peg solution, the 2035 deadline for the first boat to enter service will probably slip. In September, the government asked potential vendors from around the world to present it with options for the new vessels. David Perry, who runs the Calgary-based Canadian Global Affairs Institute, a think tank, reckons that the total cost would be closer to $120 billion Canadian dollars. There is doubt about whether Canada's sclerotic, politicised and understaffed military procurement process is up to the job. Mr Cormier wonders if it can fulfil even the current level of announced spending. You won't reach the budgeted level without fixing procurement, he says. Convoluted oversight mechanisms for big defence programmes are a culprit. Two different ministries are directly involved in contracting. Another five have a say in setting terms. They often pull in opposite directions. Acquiring new hardware is not the only problem. Cancellations and delays mean that much of Canada's existing military equipment is rusting out, says Mr Cormier, and almost half of it is unserviceable. He adds that readiness is still being cut, with a recruiting shortfall of about 16,000 in its armed forces. Canada is struggling to find the troops to honour its commitment made in 2023 to bolster NATO's eastern flank with a brigade-sized battle group of 2,200 based in Latvia. Canada's allies should not expect a dramatic change if the Conservative opposition forms the next government. The last Conservative administration slashed the defence budget to just 1% of GDP in 2013 in the wake of the global financial crisis. Pierre Poilievre, the Conservative leader, has refused to back Mr Trudeau's 2% commitment, though he does support the submarine programme. He says he can bolster defence spending by cutting waste and by diverting money from overseas aid. But like Mr Trudeau, he has shown little appetite for cutting domestic social programmes. Mr Cormier reckons that little will change without bolder political leadership. It is very hard to convince Canadians of the urgent need to raise defence spending, he laments. Thanks to our geography, we have felt safe from external threats, and politicians are not keen on making voters feel uncomfortable. Mr Trump's return to the White House could well disrupt that balance. He wants to renegotiate the trade agreement between the United States, Canada and Mexico when it comes up for review in 2026. Nearly 80% of Canada's exports go to its southern neighbour, worth some 20% of Canadian GDP. No country, bar Mexico, is more vulnerable to an American president who sees tariffs as the answer to every problem. Senior Republicans accused Canada this year of riding on America's coattails. The pressure on Canada to meet its military obligations will only intensify.